getting you home every weekday evening. 105 Drive.
This week, it's the return of the Gadget Guide. Lawrence and Rob are here. Particularly welcome to Rob, who is not feeling particularly well.
It's all good. I haven't sort of sneezed over the mixing desk yet.
No, that's
not
good.
Not yet. Give him a chance.
It's quite a distance to go to sneeze over the mixing desk, because I'm slightly worried now already.
I don't know the state of last night.
Yeah. Right.
Said.
What are we going to be talking about tonight?
Well, as you mentioned earlier on, it's the second part of the Consumer Electronics Show. This happened in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago now. It was just coming to an end at the end of last fortnight's Gadget Guide, which you can go and listen to again on the Cambridge 105 website. So we'll be talking about a few more of the toys that turned up there in just a few moments. First of all, quick bit of technology news, and we'll start off here, which is the owners of Three, as in the mobile phone network Three, they're looking, they're putting in a bid to go and buy O2 as well. So of course you might remember a year or two ago, Orange and T-Mobile merged into EE, Everything Everywhere.
So Telefonica, who own O2, have been thinking about getting out of the UK market for a while.
Yes.
Interestingly, the owner of Three, Hutchison Wenpo, the guy behind it, sold Orange in 2001.
Oh, right, so yes. He's just changed his mind.
So he's shopping for networks, it seems.
But of course, it would mean that we basically end up with EE and Vodafone and one more sort of conglomerate.
Because BT is in the process of buying EE. Yeah. There was a story in the press a little earlier on in the week, I think Financial Times, suggesting that Sky might be interested in doing some sort of...
Yes,
yeah, tie up with O2, but clearly, by the looks of things, that's not going to be happening.
No, but it does mean that we're going to be really decreasing the number of different telecoms provider, particularly if the BTE purchase goes through. Then, of course, they have a big opportunity in the kind of the convergence of landline. You know, you just go to one company, buy your home phone line, your broadband, your television, potentially. Particularly,
well, maybe we'll get to that nirvana of here's one phone number, it rings everywhere for me.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one to watch out for. Anyway, moving on to software news. Microsoft, of course, had their latest Windows 10 announcement the other day.
They 2 days ago.
Showed the first release of it a little while back at the end of last year.
The preview's been available for a good while yet, but this was the official announcement of the fact that it will be Windows 10.
Yep.
And
skipping 9.
Skipping 9, that's for technical reasons more than anything else, but also what it's going to cost people.
Yeah, and this was, I guess, a kind of surprising bit of good news, really, which is that if you're on either Windows 7, Windows 8, or Windows 8.1, you get it for nothing.
Yep, download costs will be the only things that you'll have to deal with.
Yeah. This is something which I notice Apple have done for the last couple of upgrades to their operating system as well.
Ah, but there's a difference. Apple have sold you that hardware. Microsoft don't generally sell computers.
Okay, good point.
So yeah. Apple have made the money on the hardware.
But then, of course, you find out that half a dozen programs that you previously bought need upgrades, which you do have to pay for.
Yes, this is true. So, along with Windows 10 for your PC, there'll be a Windows 10 for a Windows phone. And also Windows 10 for Surface. Now, we talked about the Surface, which is Microsoft's answer to tablets.
Yes.
And interestingly, the other one they launched was the Surface Hub.
Yeah, now this is the very big brother, really, isn't it? It's, the Surface itself is, I think, a 10-inch tablet, something around there. Your sort of typical iPad-sized tablet, albeit a bit heavier. The Surface Hub is a little bigger than that, I think, 84 inches.
84 inches is a 4K goodness, yes. It's designed to be an interactive whiteboard video conferencing-type communication tool, but not just touchscreen. What they've done is they've put Kinect all the way around the edge, the Xbox Kinect.
So this is the motion sensing.
Motion sensing.
Look at where your hands are without... Yes. Actually even having to touch
so
it.
So that's the interactivity capability. So it's going to be quite a cool one to see and play with.
Yeah, and really sort of TV on steroids there. It's interesting you talk about the Surface because, of course, the other thing that's been happening recently is that there have been more and more low-end Windows 8.1 devices coming out.
Yes.
So Dom, who does the beer guide, recently got a tablet. I think it cost him £80 or £90 for a 7-inch full Windows 8.1 tablet. This isn't the sort of the cut-down Windows phone. This is full Windows.
Yes. It is, like you said, full Windows, can run Office, can run all of your standard Windows applications, and it is in your hand, in your pocket, literally. So yeah, quite interesting what they're doing. Now, because they've focused on low-power, smaller computers, the big surprise launch that they did on Wednesday. Now, Google just retired Google Glass. That's something that's happened since we last had the Gadget Guide, as Google have suspended Google Glass.
Yes, and it was always meant to be an experiment, and I guess they sort of declared it a failure in the sort of the commercial sense.
Yeah.
Not surprising, given it was about £1,000 per
yeah,
unit.
Yes.
But Microsoft have very just conveniently answered that one, haven't they?
They launched HoloLens, which they are basically doing as a virtual reality, augmented reality type of heads-up display system.
Now, this is beautiful, because it's basically some kind of a cross between Star Trek and...
Back to the Future.
Well, yeah.
Back to the future phone?
I was thinking sort of Tony Stark in
Iron Man.
Yeah. Because it really is. It projects in your vision. It projects a hologram.
Or Minority Report.
Yes. Very good point.
This is the movie review of the side, Julian, by the way.
I know, what's going on? All of a sudden we've shifted us. We've gone back in time.
So go to microsoft.com/Microsoft-HoloLens. That's HoloLens. Read all about it. See the video. Get prepared to drool and want one, because this is going to be the bit of computing stuff, I think, from Microsoft that people will want, like they wanted Xboxes.
I was just going to say, this is a real turnaround for Microsoft, because traditionally, certainly in the last few years, Apple have got the reputation of being very cool and very hip, and Microsoft are kind of, they're the boring business guys. And now, with this, they've just completely turned it around. They're suddenly the cool kids again.
So, I mean, besides things like doing 3D CAD in real space where you can interact with your model, I mean, they're saying for the gaming world it's going to be phenomenal. I mean, this actually justifies why they bought Minecraft.
Yes, exactly. So,
you know, Minecraft, you can step into your Minecraft world and play with.
And there's a beautiful illustration of it on the HoloLens site, which is that someone's got their coffee table in their living room, and they've gone and built a Minecraft model on the table.
It's using Kinect to map your living room, so it knows where everything in your living room is, so that you can literally throw a virtual Netflix onto the wall.
Yeah, and a virtual sheep running around your carpet.
Exactly. So, the amount of capability that this is the future. It is here. It's going to be available soon.
See, this reminds me of, you guys might not remember this, there was a TV miniseries in the mid-90s called Wild Palms, and they all had like holograms of stuff, and I guess the basic plot of that was that the television executive was trying to do something really evil by only projected this nightly soap called Church Windows as a hologram into people's rooms.
And it's just so interesting, and the amount of stuff that's obviously still got to be done, you know, if you can have multiple people wearing these things interacting with each other, you know, can you see each other's Minecraft universe?
It's a case of, I built this and I just throw it at you and it lands into your system.
Yeah,
and you work with it.
The possibility are so interesting. I think we'll definitely have to talk more about that when
we know more. Maybe we should actually see if we can get Microsoft Research, and so just around the corner,
true,
to come and talk to us.
I think that might be a future Gadget Guide.
If anyone from Microsoft Research is listening, gadget@cambridge105.fm, drop us a line.
Have a word with my friend Jim, see what he can do for us.
Last one line of news before we take a break. It appears that Samsung might be looking at buying BlackBerry.
Yes, so BlackBerry obviously not in the best situation recently, but the interesting thing, of course, is that the reason that Microsoft... the HoloLens on the mind. The reason that Samsung are going to be interested isn't for the BlackBerry phones.
It's
going
to be intellectual property.
Exactly, for all patents. The patents. And that means that they're going to have a much stronger portfolio to fight other manufacturers,
also,
Apple.
Would they keep the phone itself, or would they just gradually get folded into the Samsung range and disappear?
If I was going to bet, I would say that. Yeah. I would say that they'll keep it around for a year or two, and then it won't.
It's the corporate customer market that already exists as well that's quite valuable. You know, people who want that secure messaging.
Yeah, but I think
a lot of people who had BlackBerries actually went the Apple route, and actually obviously Android devices as well along the way. It was quite strange when the kids went through the BlackBerry phase, and then that came to an end too.
Yeah, no, my guess is the hardware will get phased out.
I bet my life that's the Imagine Dragons, and we played that. Why, Lawrence?
Because it's the track that Microsoft used for the HoloLens video. So go and watch the HoloLens video on their website.
Oh, very good. Flavour tomorrow at lunchtime, 12 noon, a portrait of the Kingston Arms, the food, the beer, the people. Also visiting new street foodie, I think it's called Jalan. Rosie Sykes finds out about the Cambridge Organic Food Co. Dave Fox advises on growing your own. This week, pruning. Nazima Pathan has ideas for rhubarb. Yes, don't cook it. Which is back in the shop. Now, we also track down black pork and discover its delights. Tom Lewis gives us the lowdown on Chablis. My grandma, I'm afraid, put me off rhubarb for life. Overcooked rhubarb and custard. Not good.
Done wrong. Yes. We might have to work on introducing you to it properly then. Any restaurants out there that can do Julian a proper rhubarb crumble? Anyway, so the Consumer Electronics Show, the biggest show of its kind in the world that shows off the latest toys, widgets and gadgets, as well as white goods and the boring stuff as well. So everything from washing machines to
wearables. Yes, we talked about the double washing machine last fortnight.
Yeah, so that you can put your delicates in and your regular stuff and it washes the delicates in a separate way to the... I don't know how that works, but anyway, I just couldn't sit through the Samsung presentation of it. It was... Yes.
Well, something a little bit more exciting, perhaps, if you're the outdoors type, at least.
There was a lot of focus on health gadgets.
Yes, and that's definitely one of the bigger themes. But this one, the Fogo, F-O-G-O. I love the strapline, the all-in-one smart flashlight for any adventure. And it's quite neat. It's an LED-powered flashlight or torch, as so many of these things are now moving towards. But it's got all sorts of extra stuff bolted on as well. So it's got a GPS, a compass, a two-way radio in it. It's fantastic. It's got a heart rate monitor, a USB battery charger, all in something that you can
also... And it's waterproof.
Waterproof, of course. And you can use it as a sort of bicycle headlamp. So maybe we should throw a few of those down Mill Road. it really is just trying to be a torch that does everything without you having to go out. When you're going outdoors, you don't want to be carrying loads and loads of gadgets.
Yeah, I mean, they figure that, you know, you're going to want to carry most of those things with you, so why not combine them if you can? And they've done a pretty interesting job. So go to the website comingsoon-tech.com/Fogo, F-O-G-O. Difficult to find them on Google, so that's why we've told you that. Other gadgets that we found... One that Dom will like.
I was just going to say this one, actually, yes. If you like the pub of the month, which was last week, and again, listen to that back on the website, Pico Brew have automated the home beer brewing process, which is a great idea.
Will he like it, though? I think the possibility that people who like brewing their own don't want it automated. It's the fun of guessing it correctly.
Well, it's automated to a degree. I mean, it does use the internet to do smart things like help you actually get your mix right, to monitor your brew so that you're not accidentally blowing up your bucket that you've got your brew going in.
But surely this sort of exploding beer keg is all over the kitchen.
Is a tradition.
Is part of the brewing process. But it's great because it just means that you can log on via your smartphone and see how your brew's going. So it's a great idea.
It's not cheap, but...
What was it? $1,700, so about £1,000.
No, $2,100 for the international 240-volt version.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
More expensive.
Unfortunately, we're more expensive. Yes, motors are different here. But yes, quite an interesting idea. So yes, pub of the month could be Cambridge 105.
I think so. Right, a prototype from Google this time. It's the Spiral 2 Project Aura prototype. What's this about?
It's a modular smartphone. And what's interesting is they were actually showing off their prototypes of the Spiral 3 already. So, you know, they're launching a prototype and they've already got the next prototype version coming. But basically they're saying when you buy a smartphone, the annoyance is you walk out the shop, 3 days later the latest version comes out with the latest camera, with more storage, with better battery, and you can't have it because you've just bought your phone.
Yep.
So why not make all of the modules that you want to upgrade plug and play? So you can literally replace the camera module, you can replace the 3G modem with a 4G modem to get...
Well, that works nicely for the consumer. I don't know if the manufacturers would see it that way.
I don't know. You can sell all of these bits individually and, you know, retain loyal customers rather than losing them to another manufacturer or another brand because you haven't got the latest.
And this, of course, is kind of the way that mobile apps have gone, is that they've gone towards the kind of the you get the app for free and then you buy the add-ons. You know, the in-app purchase model has been very, very successful in the app world. So maybe it can be successful in the hardware world as well. And of course, yeah, it's nothing too different to the old inkjet printer thing, is that you pay £20 for the printer and £40 next time you want a set of ink cartridges for it. So, yeah, it is a model that has worked.
They might sell you the phone without a camera. And if you want the camera, well, you know, it's an extra $50 or £40 and then you can have the camera. And so on, things like that.
Looking at some of the more general trends, we spoke about some of them last week, but automation and robotics seems to have been a big one, both home automation and
Besides the fitness stuff, it certainly was automating things and, yeah, the rise of the machine.
It really is. It's interesting, an Internet of Things has been in the news quite a lot recently, and particularly around some of the privacy aspects of it. But that's something that is opening up opportunities as well as other things. So, for example, you know, how do you do security when everything's connected? And that, first of all, means how do you secure all the things you've just added? But also,
Canary, which was a Kickstarter a good while back, and they're apparently shipping, I think, at the end of the month or might be next month. But, yeah, you know, the idea of DIY home security is becoming an easier reality with Wi-Fi connected things, with Internet of Things, because you can buy a camera, you can buy a door sensor. I mean, Wemo, which is from Belkin, have got a whole range of things, and these are available in the UK. Their new range is adding more stuff to it, so things that you can have to automate turning on the lights, and all smartphone controllable, but they're now doing things like a keychain sensor, so it can see if someone jiggles your door, open and shut door and window sensors, motion control sensors, water flow sensors. You know, you can have those in areas where you're worried about flooding or leaks.
I quite like this as well, from People, P-E-E-P-L-E.
People's one was interesting.
Yes, so this is something you actually put into, it's basically the modern version of the sort of peephole camera. You can see who's at your door, but this again is cloud connected, so means that, you know, you can see whether someone's knocked on your door when you've popped out to the shops to go and get the milk, or if you're in the office and you want to see that you've just missed the parcel delivery.
And the clever thing is this retrofits to your existing door and spy hole, so you don't have to do anything fancy. It literally glues on and is held on by some magnets. So you glue the magnets on and then you mount the people, and that's P-E-E-P-L-E. And it's battery powered, so you don't have to get power to your door either, which is the important thing. But yeah, if it detects someone knocking on your door or jiggling the door handle, it'll take a picture and email it to you.
I quite like that. It's almost better, really, than as good as a video camera, as much as anything else.
Yeah, it's better because it's only sending you the stuff that's relevant. You know, you don't want to have video of everyone walking past your door. You're only interested if someone knocks on it.
No, particularly, obviously, the streets around Cambridge, where you've got terraced houses, would be tripping every 5 seconds, wouldn't it, sometimes of day?
I'll just leave you with this one last one, which is rather nice. Probably one of the most ridiculous products of CES. It's a cone of silence. It looks like, you know, you get those old-fashioned hairdryer-type things that sort of encompass your entire head. It looks a little bit like one of those, but even more futuristic. And it's a solar-powered... It's just ridiculous. It's basically something you put over your head that envelops you in silence.
Envelops
you in silence. It sort of cancels out the surrounding ambient noise.
So it's the Silentium. Go and Google that. Silent with an I-U-M on the end for something that just is ridiculous.
No, every home should have one. Thank you very much, guys. Rob, go rest up. Get better soon.
Cheers,
and see both of you in a couple of weeks' time. Neil Whiteside is waiting in Studio B. Good evening, Neil.
Patiently waiting. Yes, can't wait to get on air. Haven't been on air for hours. I mean, yesterday it was a bonus day, really.
I know. It's very good of both Lee and Andy and Christian to sit in for you today.
It was, yes, indeed. So, after 6 o'clock, I kind of need everybody's help. Tomorrow night I'm doing a private party. Where am I getting whistling? Oh, that's you. You're heading up. For goodness sake, it's you, is it? Okay, private party. Talk to you about it after the news at 6. Bye.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Neil Whiteside, weekend warm-up after 6 o'clock tonight. On the roads, we've got one lane closed and queuing traffic due to a car fire on the M11 northbound between Junction 11, the A10. That's at Cambridge South and Harson. Junction 12, Cambridge turning lane 1 of 2 is closed. The A14, queuing traffic westbound between Junction 35, the Newmarket Road at Stoke Quay, and Junction 32, Cambridge Road at Histon Interchange. The A14 queuing traffic and one lane closed due to an accident. Two cars involved between Junction 28, Buckingway Road, Cambridge Services and Boxworth, and Junction 27, the Cambridge Road at Fen Stanton. Congestion is back to Junction 29. That's Hatton's Road at Bar Hill. Have a good weekend, won't you? Join me later perhaps for the weekend waffle, which starts at 10 o'clock. All the reaction from the Abbey Stadium.